This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen. Tomorrow, the California Supreme Court will hear arguments about same-sex marriage. Voters passed Proposition 8, which bans same-sex marriage, last fall. One thing the court will have to decide is what to do about the roughly 18,000 couples who got married before November's vote. Among them, Dennis Mangers and Michael Sestak. I first spoke to the couple when they got married last June. That was back when it was legal. They join me now once again on the phone. Thanks for coming back, guys. And Michael, can we start off with you? What's the mood been like in your household?
Well, I think that we fully expect when the court rules that our marriages will be intact and nothing will be taken away from us.
There is the argument that voters, the majority of them, passed Proposition 8, and those who support it say it should stand. That's how the vote went. Dennis, what's your response?
We believe that that the Supreme Court will probably invalidate this proposition as being an inappropriate impingement upon the rights of a minority. In fact, a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution.
What happens if the court decides to annul your marriage? What will you do, Michael?
Well, that's a good question. I think we will, in our hearts, still remain married. Probably have another ceremony when it becomes legal again.
Yeah, there's no question in our minds. This is Dennis. There's no question in our minds. We will remain married. We've been together 18 years. I get a little emotional when I say it, but we can't imagine not being together. So we will A, consider ourselves married, and B, we will go out with others, and we will seek another initiative. This time, we will take the offensive. We won't be on the defensive, and we'll appeal to the people of California to do the right thing.
I'd like to ask about a little bit of the aftermath of what happened after Proposition 8 passed. Some people argued whether or not it was successful because supporters of Proposition 8 catered to Latino voters, black voters, Mormon voters, and called on them to reject same-sex marriage. What do you guys make of that?
Well, we certainly aren't pointing any fingers at Latinos or African Americans or Catholics or Mormons or anybody else. There was a lot of misinformation. There were a lot of scare tactics used, as is often the case in initiatives. Each time the majority has done the wrong thing by its minorities, its Supreme Court has stepped in and interpreted the Constitution to protect the minority, and we think it's going to do so again.
Regardless of what happens with the Supreme Court, one thing seems to be for certain, that this debate over Prop 8 has stirred up a lot of emotions throughout the state of California, throughout the country. What do you think can be done down the road to try to get these two different sides to see eye to eye a bit more?
Well, we're already doing a lot of those things. Ever since Prop 8 passed, a lot of us in our community, and we know this is happening in communities all over the state, we've entered into dialogues with some of the communities that have been identified as having been in support of Prop 8. And if we don't change their minds, and it's unlikely that we're going to change people who have profound religious convictions about this issue, at least we think we can get the discourse more civil.
And how do you do that on a one-on-one level? Have you had a conversation with someone who maybe voted for Proposition 8 in the past few months?
Many. And what you have to do is you have to be willing to have what I think is referred to as the difficult conversation. You actually have to find yourself willing to go initiate a conversation with someone in your sphere that you know voted for Prop 8.
And what do you say? What's the best one of those conversations you've had so far?
Well, one of the best I've had was with an African-American leader in the community who has religious beliefs in this regard, but who likes us and respects us, and I think is happy that we have found happiness. I don't think we changed his mind, but he certainly is not going to engage in the fiery rhetoric of the past.
Dennis Mangers and Michael Sestak were married for the third time last June. Dennis and Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Last June, we also spoke with Chris Clark. He's a pastor at the East Claremont Baptist Church in San Diego, California. Back then, he was working in support of what later became Proposition 8. He joins us now again. Welcome back to the program, Pastor Clark.
Thank you for having me.
So the passage of Prop 8 was a big success for you, and yet the debate continues. What has this time since the November vote been like for you?
Well, it's been rather tumultuous. There were a number of acts of vandalism, acts of violence. The verbal haranguing that continued on. We kind of expected some of that, but not to the degree, not to the ferocity that occurred.
If the state Supreme Court overturns Proposition 8, what will be next for you?
Well, first, I don't anticipate that. I feel quite confident that the Supreme Court will uphold the vote of the people. But should they take that unprecedented step to remove a part of the Constitution that the people, by law and by rule of law, voted in, quite honestly, we're not really sure. I'm not really sure what our reaction is going to be. I don't know exactly what our plan of action will consist, but it would do some serious damage to the democratic process in our country.
You mentioned the turbulence that's been in the air, very palpable in this state since November. How do we, legally speaking, all those issues aside, how do we recover from this? It seems like there is a lot of anger and a lot of mistrust on both sides. As a religious leader, what do you see as the future?
I think what needs to occur, I think, you know, I don't think that there's going to be any change or any moving in our core values on either side. I think, though, that we need to change the tone in the sense that we're respectful of both sides and both viewpoints, while at the same time we hold to our core beliefs and our core values.
This could very well be a tough and long legal battle. Why are you investing so much of your time and so much of your energy in this one issue?
I believe that, and I'm convinced that, society has affirmed traditional marriage for 5,000 years. It has worked in every society, and it's the best environment for which a child could be raised, with a mother and a father who are married together, living in the same home. I think that is the ideal. It's not right to go and redefine a pillar, a foundation relationship in our society just to satisfy the personal whims of a segmented, a very specific group.
Pastor Chris Clark spoke to us from San Diego, California. Thanks.
Thank you.